I greet you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ek groet een en elkeen in daardie wonderlike naam van ons koning Jesus Christus. To me is not just Jesus. To me is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, because he owns me. He purchased me with his precious blood. He is Jesus to me because he saved me. And he is the Christ because I acknowledge him to be the anointed one of God. And for me, it's a privilege tonight to share with you what Jesus done for me. I also want to say to you, this is one faith that you don't have to call upon somebody else to talk on your behalf. You know, Jesus is so powerful that even a child of 5 years old can get up and say what Jesus means to him or her. We don't have to go call a sheikh or somebody down the road to do that. We don't need the pastors to do that. We can talk because we are witnesses of the changing power of Jesus Christ. En as jy vanaand miskien in die gebou sit, en die Here het maar so 'n klein dingetjie soos jy miskien nou voel, en hy maar so 'n klein dingetjie vir jou gedoen het, kom ek sê vir jou, wat Jesus vir jou gedoen het, kan 'n man nie doen nie. A man cannot do that. And tonight, I want to just thank especially Cobus and the brethren that have arranged this, and I'm looking forward to a real powerful 3 days in Jesus. I'm going to share with you what Jesus done for me, how he has broken the chains of Satanism over my life. But before I do that, I want to call upon witnesses especially. I want us to understand that I'm not the only witness that can witness to the changing power of Jesus. There's been other men who did that before, and groups of Patheanus, number 1, Matthias, Matthew. Matthew was busy with his taxes and Jesus called him and he left his tax collecting and he followed Christ. But Matthew's testimony of Jesus is not just a testimony that leaves it in the air. We are living in a time in which we need to experience the power of Jesus Christ. A time in which we must stop playing church. Amen? We need to stop. Oppo kerkspeel. Oppo nou mechanische aanbidding vir die Here gee. It must be genuine. It must come out of your heart because hypocrisy is taking a lot of young people into the web of Satanism. But Matthew says, my testimony of Jesus and his power is, Jesus said to me, all power is given unto me both in heaven and on earth. But not only did Jesus say that, Neville, Jesus said to Peter, he said, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, if I acknowledge that the church of Jesus Christ is a failing church, then I must also acknowledge that Jesus is a failing head, which I know tonight is not true. Then I call upon witness number 2, Mark. Mark says, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and these signs shall follow them that believe. Powerful. In my name you will cast out devils. Hier is altyd in die duivel eers. Hy's ook worry oor ons nie. He's not worried if you are jy skief en krom is. Hy's ook worry oor jou nie. He's worried about the power that is making you skief and krom. But in any case, I call upon Luke. This is my scripture. And I will say a little bit about it later on. This is my scripture. Luke says, what I've seen Jesus do and what I've witnessed from him, I've written it in chapter 10 and verse 19. And Luke says, behold, I give you power, Jesus said, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is why I'm still alive after 14 years, still serving Jesus. John writes and he says, as a witness, he says, for this purpose Christ was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. I mean, the devil is no lack upset. Paul writes and he says, I'm a witness of the power of Jesus. I was on my way to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. And on my way to Damascus, I experienced the power of the risen Savior. I was on my horse and I was thrown down just by his presence. And when I hit the ground, I couldn't call in Jesus. I said, Lord, Master, what would you want me to do? Isn't that wonderful? You know, let me tell you something. There are witnesses in this building that can testify of the changing power of Jesus Christ. But you see, God cannot use Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul anymore in this life outside of the writings that they wrote under the inspiration of God's Spirit. But God can use Neville. And God can use you. I don't care how old you are in Jesus. He can use you. God can use your testimony to bring other people into a relationship with Jesus. I call upon witness Neville Goldman. Blessed Jesus, I do this to honor and glorify your name. At the age of 5, I grew up in a home in which it was involved very much with spiritism. I grew up in that home being taught 3 things. Number 1, you must never smoke or get involved with anything with regards to drugs. But secondly, any drinking habits must not be entertained. Thirdly, you must never stay out of church. 3 things my grandfather taught me as I lived in the home with him. And out of those 3 things, going to church was the most important. Because every Sunday, my grandfather, being German by birth, used to make sure that every day my whole life was scheduled from the morning to the night. If it's time for school in the morning, you get up early enough so that you can be at school 7:45. Even if school should start at 8 o'clock, you must be 15 minutes before the starting time at school. And then I come from school. Jy moet die vye bome water gee, jy moet die honde hulle kos gee, jy moet seker maak dat die tuin alles reg is. Everything planned. And lo and behold, if you didn't meet those commitments, you'll never forget that you were disobedient. Sometimes I think that is what the youth need today. Dikke pak slaag kry, hè? Permissive society in which we live today. But those times in my life, I cherish them tonight because of one thing. I grew up in a disciplined environment. My father, grandfather, being German, was a strong disciplinarian. Just to go on from there, I then, by having going to church, I had to go to every church meeting and report back every Sunday what was said in that church meeting. My grandfather would wait for me to come home. And then as I would report back what happened in the church meeting, he would say, well done, and you must take notice of everything they do in church. And then after a couple of years of doing that, I fell asleep in church one day, like normally with the best of it happens sometime or other when you fall asleep at church. And I fell asleep and I didn't know what happened in the meeting, because the only thing I could remember from that meeting was they started the meeting with a hymn and then they went into some announcements that I wasn't interested in, and I fell asleep until one buddy woke me up and said, don't you think it's time you should go home too? The people are leaving, you know. And now I was more worried about going home because I can only have boodskap vir my oupa gehad. I couldn't go home with a message now because I fell asleep. And then when I got home, he said to me, what happened at church today? I said to him, Grandpa, I want to be honest with you. I fell asleep, and the only little bit I remember is when I entered the building. He gave me a hiding, and sometimes I think when I share it, and I want to say this to you, what I'm sharing with you tonight doesn't give me joy. But I thank God that it's like a scar. I've lost the pain of it because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he gave me a hiding that I sometimes think if someone's got that same hiding today, they might land up in hospital. And after he gave me a hiding, he said to me, whenever I give you an instruction, it must be performed with perfection, and no negligence will be allowed. I then decided to go to church with a notebook and pen, because I thought paper doesn't forget, and it will also keep me awake all the time while I'm writing. So what I did then is, you know, out of rebelliousness, I then started writing the hymn they sang, what time they sang it, and so we went on. What time they took up the offering, what did he say, what verse he said, and how long he dragged out the meeting, kind of thing. And then I would go back home, and that's why I think maybe God has taken that and made me a preacher of the gospel, because I would go home and preach to him. But how many of you know that young people don't listen with these things? We don't use these things on the side of our head. Young people think that those ears have been given so that in case one day you need to wear specs, they'd be there to hold up the specs. But let me tell you something. Young men se leer met die goed ding. Young men se leer met die twee goed ding. Young people learn with their eyes, because I never saw my grandfather go to church. And it made me worry why he wouldn't go to church, but he would send me to church. And coming back with all these reports, at the age of just going on to be 13, 14 years old, my grandfather asked me a question that changed my whole life. And just like we are young people that are trusting adults for direction, today in the world in which we are living, you can't even trust an adult. You can't even trust that an adult will give you sincere direction, because their methods and their values are just as twisted. My grandfather said to me, He said, at the time that you've gone to church for all these years, whenever did you witness the God of the church manifest His presence in that building? When I say that, I'm asking you, when did you see a blinded eye open? When did you see a cripple walk out of the place? When did you see people leave different from the way they came? And I said, him, Grandpa, I don't understand. I thought you only wanted to know about the meetings and the services. He said to me, yes, I want to know about it, but did anybody get healed? Did anybody have a supernatural confrontation with the presence of Jesus or the presence of the God of that church? And I said to him, no. He said to me, tonight I want to take you to a meeting. I want to show you the true God. Now I got so excited when my grandfather said he was going to a meeting because I hero worshipped him. I thought, man, now I can get all the oaks in the neighborhood to know my opa can kerk to for not. I had a lekker is the eerste keer gaan hy kerk toe. You know, that's how I thought. When it got to 6 o'clock, I realized he's not going to the church. He's not going in any case to the same church I've been going to. But then at about 6:30, I started questioning. He said to me, no, the meeting I'm going to take you to starts at 10 o'clock tonight. It's one of the most powerful meetings you'll ever attend. Then he said to me, at 9:45, he's going to click his fingers. And then there would be nobody in the home awake at that time. At 9:45, I was still awake because I thought, hey, there's a lucky can I make a late night at you? Because I was so vroeg. And I thoroughly enjoyed the liberty of that late night especially. But when it came to 9:45, I had to go around my normal duties, closing up the windows, making sure the house is locked, making sure that everything is in order. I entered into the room of my aunt, and I found that she and her husband had fallen asleep fully dressed, fully clothed. And I went back and I said to him, Grandpa, nobody's got undressed. And he said to me, if I say to you they're going to sleep, I mean they're going to sleep. And that's what I said. I didn't say they're going to get undressed. And then I started sensing, because I never questioned him. I was too scared to do that. The meeting I attended that night, I wasn't charuk. I was by my full senses. And let me say this tonight to you. For people who think that Satanism is a sickness of the mind, I want you to think twice about it. Satanism is a spiritual thing. It's a thing in which people have openly and willingly come to a place of acknowledging Lucifer as the light bearer. Now in that meeting when I attended with my grandfather, it was more a meeting on spiritism. I watched an antique table being lifted up by unseen powers placed in the center of our dining room. I watched chairs being taken as in preparation for the meeting. And that time I was told directly to sit on the couch area. And I sat there. And I watched my grandfather take the head of the table, speaking to unseen powers as if they were real, and instructing them to do certain things. When I saw all that, I was filled with a lot of fear. But then my life started off in a total different direction, because after that meeting, I was convinced, my grandfather convinced me, that the God who moved the chairs, the God who had been in the meeting, is Lucifer, not like the Christians say, it is Satan. And then I embraced the Luciferian doctrine as the light bearer who is active, the light bearer who does things. And let me say this, the reason why I entered into the satanic realms is because of the absence of the supernatural in the local churches. And I entered into satanic worship at the age of 14, being recruited in a discotheque by a young lady. And let me just say this, you know, going to discos is one of the things that most young people go to over a weekend. En beteken raak boring, want jy kom elke week as hier dieselfde ou gesigte, dieselfde DJ, dieselfde musiek en so gaan dit aan. And you get bored by this, but in any case, you don't go there for the music, you're going to check out there for a lekker chick for you. Jy gaan kyk nou vir 'n lekker kind wat nou right is, by 10 uur die aand om hier weer, nee, die kind is die kind wat ek saam mee uitgaan vanaand. You know, so you speculate from the time the scene starts. But this one particular Friday, a woman walks into the disco and it's not even 10 o'clock. She walks up towards me and she winks eye at me. Hey, ek dink by myself, joh, is nog eens 10 uur, is al klaar een kind wat loskop is, you know. And I stood there and all she did was, she winked eye at me and she walked up to the further end of the hall and it worried me, to gaan my hart nou net so hier binnenkant in my, and I thought, joh, mense, vanavond is die aand. And then she did a second thing. And this is a strategy the devil uses over and over with the best of people. And it's a strategy he's used for years. What she did, we call the power of suggestion. By winking her eye, she suggested to me that she was available. And through the power of suggestion, the power of curiosity is brought into operation. Now I was curious enough to find out whether she was genuine. I want to tell you something. You know, for me as a man, and as a young man at that stage of my life, it's just like all people, there's a vrou haar inloop, to say, haar inkom, to waar ek is so veel van, niks anders het my aangetref. Nothing interests me more than this woman's geography. So the geography is right. Don't worry about the history, so long as the geography okay is. And I thought, this is it. The geography looks okay. Never mind the history. Oh, my heart was pounding. To think, ay, banana is the aunt. And then she came back to me and she said to me, this is a boring scene. How many young people use that term today? It's boring. As if verveel dis met Jesus, loop lig man. I want to tell you, the worst Satanists is bored Christians who have entered into the movement. Some of them have entered in there by the skin of their teeth without having to be killed because they embraced Jesus Christ. I'm talking about born again Christians. And then this woman took me to a meeting that introduced me to a satanic cell. The party was free of charge. I wouldn't drink or smoke. I didn't even know that it was involving Satanism. I went into this party, I was offered to drink. They offered me, will you rum and coke? Because you know, the way I left the discotheque, I left it in style. I felt, this is heat, man. This is macho ways of doing things. Because when I walked out of the discotheque, there was a merc waiting for me. And I thought I could tell all the oaks in the disco, wow, look at me now, man. I'm going to ride in a merc from this place. And plus to a thing, it looks real, real good, you know. And I left with that merc, and we got into this party. I had my first drink because I wouldn't have alcohol. I asked for Coke. They said the Coke was hot, and they would put ice cubes into Coke. They put ice cubes into the Coca-Cola. I drank it after a while. 20 minutes passed by approximately, and I started feeling hot flushes all over my body. By that time, the lady who had recruited me had disappeared. I was now in a scene where anything, at the time that I had my first glass of Coke, everything bizarre took place in it, homosexuality, lesbianism, and so you can go on. But I'm not here tonight to give the devil any glory. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the answer and He is the way. I think the newspapers have done enough with all the bizarre things that happen inside the cells. But in that meeting, I felt I needed more Coke. I went back to the counter. I said to the guy, I'm getting so hot. I think somebody yellow glass will ice block away. And then he said to me, are you sure you want more ice cubes? I said, yes. He threw a little bit of Coke in. I started chewing the ice cubes the way I felt hot. After my second glass of Coke, I woke up 2.5 days later. Every ice cube, in its fluid state, was indoctrinated with highly intoxicating drugs. And every one of them, anything that could just be frozen in the water fluid, was used. At that point in time, because I'd been involved with spiritism, and I don't know what really happened to me in the time that I'd lost my consciousness, I landed up in a satanic cell, committing myself to Satanism after I've been initiated, basically. And I want to say to any young person in this building, if you're from the satanic movement, I want to tell you something. The things I'm sharing tonight is because, not because I hate you, but because I love you. And I know in my heart that you are in a situation that could have trapped you. Some people have made you feel that you will never be free. But I want to tell you tonight, it's out of love for you that I'm going to say the next couple of things. I got involved in there, and I want to say, if you want to become a Satanist, if you're a woman, you must ask yourself if you want to be raped every weekend. If you're a man, you must ask yourself the same question. But because I had possessed spiritual powers, which I had received in the home of my grandfather, the satanic movement could not do to me the things they've done to other people, which I've witnessed in there. But in any case, I had to come to a place of denouncing Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son. But you know, it's such a deception. How can you denounce somebody that you didn't have a personal relationship with? How can you denounce somebody that you've never declared as your Lord and Savior? And so much because we've done that, the time of getting out, you feel so condemned that you feel that you've gone up against Jesus, you've denounced Him, that He will never accept you again. But nevertheless, to cut a long story short, I then landed up in Satanism. I became radically involved. I then got to a place that at the time I was now ready to be initiated. I needed to start a satanic covenant in the northern areas where I lived. And in order to be initiated as a high priest, something happened in one of those meetings. And I want to say to you, even in hell, Jesus is the light. Even in the most darkest of situations, He visits those situations because He's the light of the world. And in that dark satanic meeting, a man gets up who is the high priest. He gets up and he totally tries to pervert the word of God, makes Jesus look like he's a fraud, make Jesus look like he's the biggest liar that ever lived. And this upset me, because I never met with a resurrected Christ. The only Jesus I heard about was the church Jesus. A Jesus that did not have power, a Jesus that only tried to while away 1 hour of a man's life on a Sunday. That's the only Jesus I knew about. And so in that meeting, something happened. I got so upset by the fact that these people, especially that meeting where a guy got up and he went about perverting the image of Jesus Christ. I then got up in that meeting, and maybe that's why I am the way I am today. And in that meeting, I opened up my mouth and I said, why is it? Hoekom neem ons so baie tyd op om oor Jesus te praat? En oor slegte dinge van hom te sê. Why do we spend so much time with somebody, especially if he's not a threat to us? If he is a threat to the satanic movement, if he's a threat to what we are doing, then I need to know who he is, what he does, what kind of strategies he applies, what kind of people he uses. Because before I can even go out to start the cell, I need to know who my enemy is. And to me, Jesus was enemy number one. And so in that meeting, the high priest, normally they get upset when you start going up against them. To name the bouncers, but not only meeting us. And they picked me up basically and chucked me out of the meeting. I thank God they did that. And then on top of that, they gave me a message. If I find anything out that concerning Jesus that is a threat to the movement, I should relate it to them. Now, if you're in the order of darkness, church life is your business. Most of the guys in the order of darkness go out to churches. Let me tell you something, Satanists, go to church. Don't be deceived. They come to church meetings. And if that meeting is filled with the Lordship of Jesus Christ, they won't be able to sit in that meeting. And I went from there in search of who Jesus is. Because Jesus was enemy number one to me, and I needed to know all these different things. I needed to find out about him. So that when I started the satanic cell, Dominique Owens, wat betrokke is, moet goed weet hoe om die mense wat Jesus dien te kan weerstaan en ook teer te staan en ook hulle te mislei. I then decided I'm going to check out in churches who Jesus is. Some churches that didn't affect me, hulle het te veel games gespeel. Die ouens gaan te kere. Dis baie ouens te gesien se lewe Sondag lyk jy asof hy nooit iets in sy lewe verkeerd gedoen het nie. Vrydag weet ek, hy is smoor dronk, hy vloek en skel net soos die ander ouens. And yet I was at a time where I wouldn't now anymore be on drugs. Demon powers that inflicted the urges in my body to be on drugs left me. Because Lucifer requires a clean channel through which to work. Especially if you're on the higher ranks. And he needs purity to work through it. I know today that that is why the Bible says this, he transforms himself into an angel of light. And because I needed purity in my life, I wouldn't drink, I wouldn't smoke, I wouldn't do anything that would even cause my body to suffer. But I'm let feel as safe and not. Today can find Deanston, Khanexena, Benekan. Some of those churches, I don't even know they were aware that Jesus was in the place. They just sat there, unhindered. No interest. But in one meeting I attended, a man from the UK had come down to minister in the evangelical campaign. Toen denk ik, nee, wacht, ik heb een nog gaan zien wat zei die man, want ik zie het groot geadverteerd. Jesus redt en zo aan, en Jesus is hier en zo aan. Toen denk ik, man, if Jesus is going to be there, maybe I can talk to him personally and ask him what's up. You know, because I mean, I saw the advert, Jesus is here. So I thought, hey, this is a meeting I want to go to. Let's get it somewhere first hand and see what Jesus has to say. So I invite a Muslim lady who was a converted Christian, befriended me at that point in time of my life, and to come say, oh, ek bel haar toe, and I say, if I'm going to come kerk toe vanavond, say, raak so blij. Let me tell you something, for the Church of Jesus Christ tonight, never accept that a Satanist means business just because he says Jesus is my Savior. He needs to declare the Lordship of Christ. He needs to declare ownership, and not just Savior. He needs to declare who's in charge of him, because there's other demon powers in charge of us. But when I went to that meeting, she thought, hey, crazy, Jesus, I can kerk toe for now. I went there and I sat in a meeting. This man started to preach. Ek hou van die ou mense. Die ou mense weet nie nog van stap nummer 1 en stap nummer 2 en stap nummer 3 en stap nummer 4. Jy weet beteken dinge, by jy by stap nummer 4 kom, as die ou net toe help toe. I think I love old people, especially in that meeting. How many of you know that if you come to meetings where people is continuously harping on you, dat lyk hulle geskinder by die dominee van jou. Dat alles by die dominee gesê, hulle gesê, dominee, hy man kom kerk toe vanavond, en hou dit net. In jou boodskap sit daar so iets daarin van hom, jy weet. And I felt like that in that meeting, because that old man stood there. And when, like we know, that in all church meetings, you put up your hand, you accept Jesus, you come up to the front, and you make a commitment, and then you go back, and you go live a little bit on that cloud nine, and then you backslide, and so on. We knew those things. We were aware of it. Unless the resurrected power of Jesus was in a meeting, we knew that conversions would not be genuine. If it was psyched up, it would just last for a few minutes. But if the resurrection power of Jesus in the meeting, we knew that that man was going to be changed permanently and eternally. And in that meeting, that old man turned around and says, at the end of the meeting, he didn't say, put up your hand. He said, I challenge you. I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about Jesus, why don't you stay behind? I challenge you, Dario Aikman. Now I felt he was talking to me like I was the only oak. Now I was upset. Now I felt I'm going to get up and pull this whole meeting apart, because that's what we did. I used to go into meetings, and if a man preaches and I sense now he's talking rubbish, I would stand up in the meeting and put my hand very gently up. And if he sees my hand and takes notice of me, because you must remember, the devil doesn't walk around with horns and a long tail. Those days of hot stuff is long time gone and buried, and Casper the Friendly Ghost too. But let me tell you something, we look like I'm looking here tonight, nice and polished. And I would go in there and put up my hand, because if I look skiff and chrome, you would never give me a chance to talk in the church. You would think, no man, this is karamong, the old man is so big weg. Like my scarroop, so so in can. And I'm like so sliga. And I put up my hand and I would do something like this. I would say to him, sir, you've been speaking rubbish the whole night. And at the same time, why don't you tell this congregation of people that you're messing around with other women? And then at that time, I would walk right out of the meeting. And I would leave that man in a silly situation. And now in that meeting, I felt I wanted to get up there and chop that oak. Now, because no quad, but I fully drunk no of my head. And as I couldn't get up from the seat, I couldn't move. And the man said, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And he said, I challenge you. And I couldn't get up from the seat. I couldn't be rebellious. I couldn't get up there to do what I felt I wanted to do. Eventually, I stayed behind in that meeting. And you know what? I knew that if I talked to any old man, any old person in that meeting, if I knew what I know today, I wouldn't have gone to that church meeting. That meeting was a Plymouth Brethren meeting. They know the Bible basically from Genesis to open bearing. I thought, no way, I can't let anyone come and with me praat, want hy gaan my net besig hou, want die Bybel sê dit en die Bybel sê dit, en so sê die Bybel en so gaan dit maar die hele aand van my seker wees. But I was scared. But then I chose 11-year-old boy that stood out there in the front with his father's Bible clutched under his arm like this. He was waiting for everybody to leave the building, and while the rest were going on, and an elder of that church came up to me and said, would you like to talk to me? I said to him, no sir, I don't want to talk to you. I have nothing to say to you. And I turned around, I tried to crush him with words, and he didn't even budge at it. But I said, can I speak to that young man right there in the front? At that time of my life, I'd just gone on to be 20 years old. And then this young boy came up to me, and he stood there, and he said, can I help you? Can I give help? Oh, Jesus, just bless Clive in Jesus' name. Just bless him, Jesus. I sat there and he said, can I help you? And I said, no, you can't help me. I'm going to help you. And he looks at me and he says, okay. And I said to him, when did you see Jesus? You, when did you see Jesus? And he looked at me without batting an eyelid. And he looks at me and he says these words to me, I know your kind. Your kind is of the world, and the world says seeing is believing. But Jesus said, blessed are they who believe and have not seen. And you know, when I listened to those words, before I could talk, oh Jesus, before I could talk, before I could say anything, he said to me, "Yema yo groot bek, hoekom gaan jy op jou knie kom nie? Why don't you get on your knees? Maar gaan op jou knie kom en vra vir die Here om jou lewe te kom." And you know, I couldn't talk. I knew that something was happening. How many of you know, I don't care how many muscles are on that body that has been developed that big. I don't care how much your education is up here. But when somebody asks you to pray publicly, you'll quickly know whether you're a man or a boy. You sal gouheid weet, gouheid vind hoe groot is die Here wat ons van praat. And I couldn't pray. And as I couldn't pray, he utilized on the situation. And he turned around and said, maybe hoekom kan jy nie bid nie? Do you know why you can't pray? It's because you don't know the God who created you. And I looked at him and I said to him, now hang on, me so astig as he wacht nou so bieke, nou is het ek die ene wat pleit. And I looked at him, I said to him, no, hang on. I said, nee, moet nie by jy praat, he bid man, bid. And I couldn't pray. And then I said to him, no, I can't pray. Every demon power that was in my body started submitting to the authority and the power that was in 11-year-old. Every power that I could have by pushing people up against buildings and keeping them with demonic powers. Powers that I would possess of going into a satanic cell and put all the worshippers flat down because of the power I possessed. Was now subject to the power of 11-year-old. Subject to the authority of the living Christ that was living in him. Let me tell you something. In that meeting, I realized that Jesus does not come and live in his part. In a part in a child. The fullness of God comes to live in that kid. Not just a part of it. Jesus doesn't say, never because you're 30 years old, I will give you a greater part of the kingdom of God or the greater part of the Godhead. No, he says, in Christ, the fullness of God dwells in Christ. And then I looked at this 11-year-old and I was subject to it. I stood there and I said, oh Jesus, ek verstaan dit nie. And he said, okay, moenie worry nie. I witnessed the love of God. Oh Jesus. I witnessed your love. I reverence you. Sovereign Master, I reverence you. I give you all the glory. You are the Master. Spirit of God, I love you. In that meeting, at that time, he turned around and he said to me, don't worry, I'm going to help you to pray. And he turns around and he says, Yere, si infinimo. Hallelujah. God bless him. That's all he said. God bless him. I never had a follow-up system so tight in all my life. That young man, I thought the devil sent him too. But at the same time, he would come to my home at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning because I had committed myself to follow Jesus for 3 months. And my commitment to him was, if Jesus doesn't change me within 3 months, because in my heart, my motives was, I must find out who Jesus is. And I said to him, as the Here may nie verander binnen 3 maanden, gaan jy die eerste ene is wat een volgeling sal met my gaan word. And he turns around, he takes that Bible under his arm that he had, and he said for me, sien jy die Bible? Doen alles wat die Bible sê. En ek en jy gaan vir Jesus dien. You know, I didn't understand it that day. But let me tell you something. If ever you believe accepting Jesus Christ hasn't got a price attached to it, I mean, buy a hold of it now. You see, this Christ, this Jesus we serve, there's a price to being a Christian. Sometimes it's a high price, but you can never compare that price with the price that Jesus paid. I accepted Christ that night, and all hell broke loose. And I want to tell you tonight, don't think when you make a decision for Jesus tonight, that it's going to just be hallelujah and glory to God. All hell is going to break loose. Because somebody's not going to like the idea that you're going to come under new management. I accepted Jesus, and in that 3 months, I had 6 months left to live. Demon powers reacted, bleeding ulcers developed all over my body. I then landed up in hospital with pipes all over my body. Everything where there was a hole, there was a playbaan. Ek het daarna so upset gevoel vir 2 weke. Alles, ek kan nie eens reg asemhaal nie. Met al die pype, ek dacht, amper gedink, miskien is die wat die Here maar wil hê, ek moet in my liggaam net. I thought in my heart, this is the conversion I've looked for. Having death when you accept Jesus. And then I laid on that bed, and I don't know how that 11-year-old jippled into that building. Because you're not allowed to get into a hospital. And when I left, I was laying on this bed, I heard a step on the bedside. To the next week, to the day, I drive my kop and say, and I said, so deep for me, hoe lang play you know op die kooi? And I couldn't talk. And I asked the nursing sister, can any net skryf for me, hoe lang is hy op die bed? Because a very simple-minded young man. And I wrote on the 2 weeks. He turns around and he says to me, 2 weke. Wil jy my sê, jy het al jou geloof vir 2 weke in die kooi gesit? For 2 weeks you trusted this bed to keep you. And he said, why don't you take the same faith that you put into this bed and put it into the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Why don't you put it into Jesus, trust Jesus with the same faith that you have in this bed, trust Jesus with that same faith, and you'll walk out of this hospital and declare to the world that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. Now I knew that kind of wisdom wasn't his. I knew it was God. I knew it was the power of God's Spirit. I can say that tonight. But you know what? I thought because I had experienced a lot of pain in the satanic movement, and I thought, wat se pyn kan dit wees? Ek het sommer die goeie uitruk en opstaan en die uitloop. But I've been so weak, I pulled out all the pipes and stuff, went through the trauma of pulling it out, and then I got off that bed. When I got off that bed, I collapsed next to it. And then I got up and I thought, nee, die dinge werk nie uit, I was verkeerd, man. Ga maar weer opklim. I tried to get back on the bed, and the nursing sister helped me on, and then I said to her, you know what he said? He said, if I can trust Jesus, I can walk out of here. And it just went through me. I then said to her, listen, I'm going to walk out of this hospital. I want to see a doctor. An old man who had gone on to be with the Lord came up to me and he said to me, you're bad. It's real bad. I think you should just stay for a while. I said to him, man, just give me the opportunity. What difference does it make, 3 months or 6 months? Give me an opportunity just to walk out by that door. I walked out very weak, and for the first time in my life, I saw something that I'd never treasured before. I saw the preciousness of life. I saw that commodity that money can't buy. I saw that priceless commodity that Jesus came to give me become valuable to me. I went up to a drunk man, drunk under the influence of methylated spirits, and I took him like this and I shook him. Ek sê, "Paul, soos die." Ek sê, "Meneer, luister mooi na my." Hy bla 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 bla. Ek sê, "Meneer, luister na my. Gee jy vir my jou lewe, dan vat jy die lewe van my. Gee my hy lewe wat jy het, gee dit vir my." And he thought I was crazy. You know, I walked for 10 kilometers. Believing Jesus was going to touch me. He said, I would trust, if I trusted him, I'd walk out of the scripture that came into my mind. When I got home, very tired, the scripture that came into my being was John chapter 11, verse 25. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he is dead, yet shall he live. And the question came into my heart, do you believe this? You know, I felt I could just say, yes, Jesus. Yes, I believe it. I believe it. Tonight I'm standing here as a living testimony of the faithfulness of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I stand here tonight knowing that even tonight that I stand, not pastor doesn't excite me. What excites me is I'm a child of God. And tonight I want to say to you, maybe in this building, maybe you've been trapped in occultic practices in your home. Maybe you're practicing with style, you know. Niemand weet nie. Jou ouers weet nie. Jy is alene wat weet. Maybe you also put your pentagrams under your doormat and put all your slogans behind your posters. But maybe you're not a Satanist today. Let me tell you something. Everybody that has sinned against God is going to a Christless eternity. Whether you're a Satanist tonight or whether you're just a good sinner, you're going to miss the mark by thinking that going to church every Sunday is a mekerkenis, a ditness, that gaan my hemel toe vat. I conclude with this scripture. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, that one thing money cannot buy, and have it abundantly. Now I want to share this with you. Brethren, I was so scared when I gave my heart to Jesus. Maybe I could just loosen up for a while. I got so scared about coming out of the movement, but does he please what almost no I yet? Hulle gaan jou doodmaak, hulle gaan jou uitmekaar uitmaak en so gaan dit. And I was scared. I thought there was no freedom, but when Jesus delivered me, set me free, and filled me with the Holy Ghost, I went to an Anglican church because we used to give Lucifer hours of dedication. We used to lay on our faces flat in satanic worship for hours to give him what I felt was what he deserved. But he doesn't deserve the attention of a human being. He's merciless. He will tear you to pieces. He will make sure that you never get up again to have the dignity of a man or a woman. But I want to tell you something. I was so scared. I looked for a church meeting every night of the week. Ek gaan sommer na ou wat ek eens gaan geweet het. Ek was my hele kerk hier by die kerk op 'n maandag aan. Hy sê nee, ons het nie kerk nie. Ek sê nou wanneer hou julle dan kerk? Hy sê oh brother, it's only on a Wednesday. We have mass on a Wednesday. I said, oh, Woensdag, oh, it's the Pharaoh, broer. Yeah, it's the Pharaoh. And I thought, no, I'm not going to hassle about now Monday. I looked for a church for a Monday because I knew I needed to be in a church meeting. I felt I would be protected. That's how scared I was. 7 days a week in churches. By the time I got to Sunday, I didn't know what to believe.
van elke kerk het 'n different ding gesê. And I just thought, ek preek, julle maar sê maar wat julle wil. I realized when Jesus saved me, I must just get hooked on to Jesus. And I sat in the mirror and I was like a safety, so die devil kom hier nie. Yeah? And then I realized I was still scared. And then I turned and I says, God, I had power in the movement. And I cannot face that power without having to know that you have empowered me. What other power is there? Oh, blessed Jesus. And the Lord ministered to me, in the kingdom of darkness there is spirits, plural tense, spirits. In the kingdom of God there is one spirit, the Holy Spirit, to whom all other spirits must bow and declare his sovereignty. And man, I got so excited, I went to spend time like, to Jippa in my Anglican church every Friday night to pray through the night, because I felt if I gave Lucifer 6 hours of worship and prayer, then I needed to give God more than that. I need to show him that I meant business. And if you are in the satanic movement tonight and you want to get out, you must be desperate, pal. Don't mess around with God. You must be desperate to get out. And if you don't want to play games, then go back and let the devil destroy you further. But when you are serious about getting out, you must be determined to turn your back upon him. And when I went into that church, on the one side there's a hall, they were dancing, going to theater there on the one side of the hall. And I entered into the sanctuary area there, and I laid myself on the ground, and I said, I'm scared, Jesus. Jesus, I'm very scared. And I'm asking you to help me. You know, in the dim light of that place, because the light that you can adjust, I had a small Bible, not like this one. I'm not confident. You see, after 14 years, I feel I can double-barrel shotgun. I can take this one out. But at that point in time, I used the half a sword like a John Bain. Check skirt. Yeah, a little Gideon Testament. I used to keep it in my pocket. And whenever it was convenient, I would pull it out and read a little bit. But in that time, let me tell you, eeny, miny, meeny, mo doesn't work with God. I think it's a lazy man's way of getting things from God. But at that point in time, it felt better for me. I opened up the Bible and Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. I read it and it says, behold, that word I came, I said, it's you, Jesus, you, Jesus, you saying it. I give you, you're talking about me, Neville, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Oh, then I got excited. I thought, wow, that's it. That's it. That's what I need, to tramp upon serpents and scorpions. And then I said, but what if I get hurt? And then as I read the Bible further, the verse, it says, and over all, A-double-L, all the power of the enemy. I got so excited. I thought the people in the dance room would stop because I was screaming by then. I said, you mean all the devil's power? You're going to give me authority over all that power? I was convinced. And then the next verse put so much faith and boldness into me and says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I thought to myself, this is it. Blessed be the Lord. How many know theoretically that's okay? But to go put it into practice, it's another thing. Now, I'm a practical Christian. I'm not a believer only. I'm a worshiper of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not just somebody who says, I serve Jesus. I follow Jesus. And following is a lifestyle. You can't just say you're a Christian and you're not following. You can't just say you're a believer, because there's thousands who believe in Jesus, but there are few that follow and worship him. Because a follower is prepared to die with the Master. A follower is prepared to lay down his life for the kingdom's sake. And that night I said, Jesus, I'm going to go out onto the street. I want to see if this works. I must go check out if it works. And I knew the first place I could go to was a pub, because I know there's a lot of people at pubs. And I went there to the pub. I stood outside the pub. I only remember John 3:16 very well. So I stood outside the pub and I thought, I want to check if this works. Because I wasn't scared, really, of men. Because me bang for a hond, as for a man bang us. Any case, I stood out there and I did this. But God so loved the world. Hey, and I checked. Nothing happened. Nobody. Okay, try again. God so loved the world. And out of the bar comes a guy like this. And he staggers a bit and he goes, so what about it? Save me, Varafan. I was a year only barrel, you were Varafan. And I look at him. And I, as he came up to me, I said, I don't know. I looked at him and said, but he loves you, sir. Are you in the world? Leave any battle. And then the Spirit of God came upon me. How many of you know you'll never have the upon power of God until you do something with Jesus? You'll never get that experience of his upon power. And then the power of God comes upon me. And I felt, you, this is nice. And I looked at him and I said to him, do you know God loves you? That you are in this world? And that in this world, there's a man like you that Jesus died for. And as I looked at him, and he sobered up, then I thought, hey, it works. Hey, it works. This works, it works. I got excited. And I said to him, you're sober. He says, but tell me funny, Here, man. What lost this soberheid? And I looked at him and I said to him, Jesus loves you. And as I held him, he said to me, why don't you go inside and tell him what you told me? Go into the bar, go tell him. Hey. And I thought in my heart, hey, you better can is it by your spicy better. Yeah, I can run in all directions, but in there, they close the door. I've had it. So I thought, no, I'm not going in there. And I said, no. Yeah, I'm okay, I'll preach out here. He said, no, go in there. And as I tried to jump out of the situation, the Spirit of God came again. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And then I turned to him, I said, sir, you give your heart to Jesus. Are you serious about it? Would you like to be a witness with me for Jesus? You're going in there with me? Will you stand by me? And then the Spirit of God says, never lean on the arm of flesh, for it will surely fail you. And I never knew that scripture was in the Bible. I never knew that. I stood there and I said, okay, sir, go with me, but I'm not going to trust you. And I went in there. You know what? I got inside the bar. You know, inside the bar, everybody talks. Nobody listens. Everybody's clever inside the pub. Nobody listens. So I'm off prat. Yep. Cancel. I think, hey, no more beer for you. And next time, for God so loved the world, here is lief for julle. Hulle gaan aan. Ek gaan niks aan nie. Hulle praat one way. Hier sê die ou vir my, nee, maar derkie so nie. Klim op die tafel. And I looked at him and I said, nee, ek drink by die tafel. Ek het hier gedrink. Haal die bottle so weg. I said, ons aan net so bekend, omdat die mannetjie nie opstaan. So the one who thought maybe we're going to sing or do something silly. I stood there and I got on top of the table. And as I got onto the table, oh, man. I tell you something, nobody tell you they're without fear until they face fear. I stood there and I looked at the, now I looked at my circumstances and I started getting scared. And he says, wait, prat, come on, prat. And then as he said that, I went, for God so loved the world. And then the whole place went quiet. And how many of you know when it's quiet, everybody's waiting for you to say something. And then I made tannis at first, and leg aan niks early. And I stood there, he said, Oi, you know. But you know, I want to tell you, I stood there and I said, God loves you, man. And then all of a sudden I realized it was parents. I was speaking to in the place and I said, you are fathers. You mustn't lose your dignity. You mustn't lose hope in yourself. You must remember there are children waiting for you at home. You must remember that. I remember that message like I did it yesterday. I said, you must remember, you must get up. You might have failed your family, but start all over again. Jesus loves you, man. Go home and tell your wife, you're a husband that cares for you, for her and the kids. Go home and do that. But take Jesus home with you. And as I did that, a man gets up, big man, takes a knife out, and he walks up to me. Man, I can't eat here, I'm going to here. He walks up to me. And as I stand there saying that God loves me, he comes with that knife and he stabs it into the table at my feet. And I look at that knife and he says to me, shut up. Just shut up. And I look down at him and I was about to just say, I'm sorry, you know. The Holy Spirit came and said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And then I very childlike with Jesus. I would trust God. I remain like that till Jesus comes. I looked at the knife on the ground and I forgot about this man. And I stood there and I said, Lord, this is not a serpent. It's not a scorpion. It's a knife, but I will tramp on it. And I stood on it. I bent his knife and I stood on it. And in any case, it was safer under my feet than being over for him to get hold of it. But I stood on that knife and I said, in the name of Jesus, God said he gives me more power even over you, sir. So you've got the audacity to think you can challenge the power of God Almighty. Do you know that God can remove you from the face of the earth like that? But because of his grace being sufficient for you, he's kept you alive. And I looked at him and the power of God came upon us and tears started flowing from his eyes. And I put my arms around him and said, you know, I don't hate you for what you've done. I've forgiven you in advance. Hallelujah. And I took him and I held him. You know what? Out of that bar, my life has never been the same again. Never been the same again. And tonight you are in this building and you feel powerless because you don't know who you are in Christ. Talk to those of us who are children of God. Let me tell you something, if you're a child of God, this meeting has a twofold purpose. And that is to draw you closer to Jesus. And to give you the boldness of standing up unashamedly to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say something that might not be right for me to do so at this point in time, but you must understand, even if the government had a law against Satanism in this country, it will not eliminate the responsibility of the children of God. It will not eliminate the responsibility of the body of Christ to reach people for Jesus. And therefore, we cannot use the government as an escape route. We've got to get up, because if the movement in Satanism was against Buddhism, I would go to my Buddhist friends and ask them to provide the solution. Because the very thing that threatens you will be the solution to your life. And because the movement is anti-Jesus, tonight I can say, in Christ alone, we can be free. Come, let us just pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, there are some men in this building that have been taken by the thief's deception. There are some women in this building that have been deceived. And through that deception, they've tried their best to make the wrong right. But yet also, I believe they could be sincerely believing that what they have is right. But I ask that the Spirit of God would eliminate every form of deception, would highlight the truth, because they must know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And in this building, in Jesus' mighty name, right where you are seated, I want to talk to those of us who don't know Jesus. Because you see, I'm not going to allow the devil to take you either. You belong to Jesus, and He loves you. I'm going to ask those in the building who don't know Jesus Christ, and let me just say this, I don't want anybody looking around at this point in time. If you're not interested in Jesus, don't hinder other people who would like to come to know Him. You have the freedom of choice, and I want to say to everybody in the building, the devil cannot possess any man or woman unless he can open up the freedom of choice that God has given us in the time of creation. And tonight, use your freedom of choice to decide who you will serve.